This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodl Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, supernova spotted in the Pinwheel Galaxy, the discovery of antimatter in the Earth's Van Allen belts, and a planet darker than coal. August 24th saw the discovery of one of the closest supernovae of its kind in recent years. Located in the nearby spiral galaxy M101, the explosion was reported by the Palomar Transient Factory, a survey of the sky which aims to detect and catalogue transients using two telescopes at the Palomar Observatory in California. Catalogued by the PTF collaboration as PTF-11KLY, the position of the supernova was distributed rapidly through the astronomers' telegrams, allowing follow-up by other astronomers using a variety of telescopes across the electromagnetic spectrum. With transient events like supernova, such rapid follow-up with other telescopes is extremely useful in trying to understand the physics of what happens in the explosion. Comparatively little is known about the first few hours to days of supernova evolution, since they are often discovered days and sometimes weeks after the initial explosion. In the case of PTF-11KLY, also catalogued as SN2011FE, the event was spotted very early in its evolution, as the brightness was still increasing, and spectroscopic observations by the Liverpool Telescope in the Canary Islands quickly showed that this particular event was of the class known as Type 1A supernovae. This kind of event is thought to be caused by a thermonuclear explosion on the surface of a white dwarf in a binary system, although there are variations in the theoretical models which detailed observations could help to resolve. This particular supernova is the closest example of a Type 1A event in almost 40 years. This is significant because it is the type of supernova which is used to measure the expansion of the universe, so having a good understanding of the underlying physics of these explosions is essential for cosmological studies. Since it was discovered so early in its evolution, PTF-11KLY should continue to brighten over the next few days before it begins to fade. At discovery, the object had a magnitude of 17, but was brightening rapidly. Located in M101, the Pinwheel Galaxy in Ursa Major, it is estimated that the supernova could become bright enough to spot with binoculars or a small telescope. In contrast, observations carried out with the Very Large Array, a collection of 27 radio telescopes located in New Mexico, showed no radio emission from the supernova. This is not surprising, as so far no Type 1A supernova has ever been spotted by radio telescopes, despite numerous searches. Telescopes of various types will continue to monitor this supernova as it evolves over the following months, and astronomers will use the data collected to test various aspects of the physics and chemistry of supernova models. Antimatter is often thought of as something that is only created in particle accelerators, or that only exists in science fiction movies, but it is actually present in small quantities throughout the universe. Now a team of researchers have detected the presence of naturally occurring antimatter right here in the neighbourhood of the Earth. This population of antiparticles originates from cosmic ray interactions in the Earth's upper atmosphere, where they are subsequently trapped in the planet's magnetosphere. Antiprotons can be produced in a number of ways, through cosmic rays interacting with the interstellar medium, the natural decay process of some types of particles from our own atmosphere, or in cosmic ray air showers from high-energy particles impacting on the atmosphere, although most of the antiparticles would annihilate with their normal counterparts fairly quickly, especially at lower altitudes where the density of the atmosphere is higher. The existence of antiprotons around the Earth was predicted many years ago, but predictions differ, and experiments on board both Salyut 7 and the Mir space station only succeeded in placing upper limits on their abundance. The antiprotons found by the Pamela satellite are located in the Earth's Van Allen belts, donut-shaped regions defined by the Earth's magnetic field. The magnetic field lines trap charged particles, resulting in regions with a high density of positively charged protons, and others with a relatively high density of antiprotons. Launched from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in 2006, Pamela is designed to detect cosmic particles with energies between tens of mega-electron-volts and hundreds of giga-electron-volts. Pamela's orbit takes it through the area known as the South Atlantic Anomaly, the region where the Van Allen belts pass closest to the Earth's surface. Since it began operations in 2006, Pamela has detected antiprotons at a rate more than 1,000 times higher than that expected from galactic sources. The researchers say that this implies a belt of antiprotons located between two belts of ordinary matter in the Earth's Van Allen belts. The signal detected by Pamela is 10,000 times stronger inside the South Atlantic Anomaly than it is outside the Earth's radiation belts, and thousands of times stronger than that expected from galactic cosmic rays. The likely explanation, say the researchers, is that the Earth's Van Allen belts are acting in the same way as they trap protons, trapping the antiprotons in a layer around the Earth, at least until they encounter a particle of normal matter and annihilate. Although antimatter is pretty destructive stuff if it comes into contact with ordinary matter, luckily for orbiting spacecraft, there isn't that much of it. In 850 days of data acquisition, Pamela's detectors collected just 28 antiprotons in the previously unknown antimatter region of the inner Van Allen belts. Stars are bright because they generate heat and light through nuclear fusion processes in their cores. Planets are visible because they reflect some of that light. The percentage of light that is reflected, a quantity known as a planet's albedo, varies depending on the nature of the planet's surface and its atmosphere. Jupiter, with its thick bands of highly reflective cloud, has an albedo of 52%, while the Earth's is somewhat lower, only reflecting around 37% of the sunlight which falls on its surface. But now, a duo of astronomers have discovered a planet with an exceptionally low albedo, reflecting just 1% of its host star's light, making it less reflective than coal. The planet, discovered by the Transatlantic Exoplanet Survey, is known as Trace 2b, and lies about 750 light-years away in the constellation of Draco. David Kipping of the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics and David Spiegel of Princeton University used data from the Kepler Space Telescope to investigate the planet's nature. To calculate its albedo, the astronomers measured its brightness at two different points in its orbit around the host star, once when it was located directly between us and the star, and again when it was on the far side, just before it went into eclipse. The difference between the two measurements is therefore the difference in brightness between the day and night sides of the planet, and tells us how much of the star's light is reflected by the surface of Trace 2b. The planet orbits its star at a distance of just 5 million kilometres, far closer than Mercury is to the Sun. Mercury is a dense rocky planet with a large iron core and a rocky silicate surface which has an albedo of 12%. Surface temperatures on the closest planet to the Sun range between 90 and 700 degrees Kelvin. In contrast, Trace 2b, an exoplanet in the category of hot Jupiters, shows brightness variations of just 6.5 parts per million, corresponding to an albedo of less than 1%. The authors also calculate that there is significant emission coming from the day side of the planet. Its proximity to its host star means that its surface temperature is likely to be around 1,000 degrees Kelvin, and any atmosphere it has will likely be composed of chemicals such as vaporized sodium and potassium or gaseous titanium oxide. Such a hot temperature also means that the planet actually emits some of its own light, possibly glowing dimly red like an electric bar heater. The Kepler satellite is designed to search for planets using the transit technique, observing one densely packed star field for its entire operational lifetime, searching for tiny fluctuations in brightness of a star due to a transiting planet. The exceptional sensitivity of Kepler's instruments has led to this particular discovery in just 4 months of data acquisition. In their paper accepted for publication in the Monthly Notices of the Royal Astronomical Society, the researchers suggest that, over 6 years of continuous observation, the telescope may be capable of detecting planets with albedos as low as 0.1%. And finally, in 2007, the Allen Telescope Array began operations. Designed and constructed to participate in both conventional radio astronomy studies and the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, the array is jointly operated by the SETI Institute and the University of California. One of the goals is to observe planetary systems detected by the Kepler mission, searching for possible signals. However, in April 2011, funding shortfalls for operations at the Hat Creek Radio Observatory, where the ATA is located, resulted in the array being put into hibernation. After launching the SETI STARS campaign in June, an appeal to supporters to help raise the $200,000 needed to get the telescope back online, thousands of people from around the world have made donations, and operations are now due to restart in September.